delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't that a simple truth this morning? If you walk with the Lord, your life is going to be blessed. Amen. If everybody could figure that out, that walking happiness is the Lord, walking with Jesus would solve 99% of most people's problems. I tell people, if you can find yourself in the house of God every time it's open, let me tell you, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. It says in verse 4, here's the contrast. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Hey, those who are not walking with God, their lives are never going to be blessed. And it'll always be one disaster from another. And that's a whole message in itself. But what I want to preach on this morning is out of verse 6. And I thank God for verse 6 every day of my life. It says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And what I want to preach on this morning is this little simple thought that the Lord knows. You know, the Lord knows. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And you'll understand from the message this morning, thank God that God knows everything. Amen. And sometimes we think we're down here and God isn't seeing us and he doesn't know what we're going through. And hey, I assure you, God knows the way of the righteous. And he knows everything about what we're going through. And thank God that he does. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word this morning. And God, I'm thankful that you know the way of the righteous. And God, you know the way of the sinner as well. And Father, you're the almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, mighty God this morning. And God, we want to worship you as such. And I just pray that you get honor and glory, Lord, this morning from the preaching of your word, and that the Holy Spirit would speak to all of our hearts. And God, that we might know that our lives are ordered. And God, that you, Lord, nothing happens by accident in the Christian's life. And God, I pray that you'd work and move this morning, give comfort, give grace, bring conviction where needed. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I preach on this thought, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord knows. You know, one thing that sets Christianity apart from all other is that our God is powerful. Amen. You know, the weakness of all the false religions in the world, and the nonsensical things that they do to get in touch with God. I think about the Buddhist, and they have places where they put notes up on a board trying to get God's attention. And then they tell the people nonsensical things where they would shoot spitballs through a straw, and if their spitball sticks to their note, their prayer will be answered. And I think, what kind of foolishness is that? And then with a false religion of Hinduism, and they tell people to do crazy things to appease the God. You know, give them a shot of whiskey and a cigarette and a cookie, and maybe your prayer will be answered. Hallelujah. I think, what nonsense is that? And then all the foolishness of Islam and all that, hey, kill somebody and you might go to heaven. What kind of nonsense is that? The false religions of the world will tell you that God hates me and he's angry with me. God hates everybody. But see, that's the false religions of the world. And that's completely opposite of the God of heaven. When he said, for God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, God loved the world so much he came and died for the sins of the world. Hey, that's a great love that God has for his creation. Thank God this morning that our God is omnipotent. You say, what's that mean? He is all-powerful, hallelujah. And he shows his power from time to time, amen. He showed his power in the past, he shows his power in the present, and hallelujah, he's going to show his power in the future one day, amen. When King Nebuchadnezzar had made that idol and commanded everyone to bow to it, and of course Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow, hallelujah. And when it came time, the king called them to answer for why they wouldn't bow. They said this. They said, hey, he says, we are not careful to answer in this matter. If be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known of thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And man, the king was filled with fury. And he heated that furnace up seven times more. You know the story. Then it was needed to be heated. And hallelujah, they went into the burning fiery furnace, but the fire had no power on them. Amen. You say, why? Because God's powerful. He's all powerful. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, doubt we cast three men bound in the midst of the fiery furnace? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. Hey, God had his eye on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the whole time. You say, hey, what if God had got there late? They wouldn't have survived. Hallelujah. But God was waiting for them in the fire. Amen. Because God knows the way that we take. God knew exactly what his children were going to do. And the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains, the kings and the counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor had the smell of fire passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language, or speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Can I tell you, there's no other God like our God. Amen. There's no God that can deliver after that sort. When Daniel went into the lion's den, Darius said the same thing. He said, is your God continually able to deliver you from the lions? And he said, God has sent his angel. Hallelujah. That's right. Because God knows the way that we take. Man, when we're going through things and we're at the last minute and the last hour, we don't know what we're going to do. God knows the way we're going to take. And God is more than able to send deliverance. We do not serve a weak and a puny God who has no power to do anything. We have a God that can do anything in our life if we'll just put our lives in his hands. Thank God he's omnipotent this morning. Thank God he's omnipresent everywhere at the same time. While God's delivering you, he can be delivering me. Amen. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord every place beholding the evil and the good. Amen. Jeremiah said this, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places? I shall not see him, saith the Lord. Do not I fill the earth, heaven and earth, saith the Lord? The Lord's everywhere. Thank God he can meet everyone's need at just the right time. He's there. He's always there. There's never been in my time in my life when God wasn't there. Thank God he's always there. Psalms 139, the psalmist said this concerning the ability of the Lord. He said in verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike. Thank God he's always there. This in chapter 9, he says, though I dig into hell, thence shall my hand take thee, and though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down, and though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence, and though they be hid in my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, he shall bite them. God knows the way of the just, and he knows the way of the unjust. We were joking around about the IRS. Miss Lisa was talking about that and at work and so on and so forth. And one of the ladies, her daughter, works for the IRS. And the IRS knows when people are cheating. And they'll let you go about 8 years before they contact you. You say, why? To make sure that they accrue fees and penalties. And just because you don't get caught today don't mean you won't be caught tomorrow. Right? And there's nothing like getting a letter in the mail telling you to report to the IRS. Hallelujah. There's no letter like that letter. Right? If you think the IRS sees, how much more does God see? Thank God, our God, he's on my presence. He's omnipotent. Thank God, he's omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. That's why he can say, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. He knows the way that we are taking this morning. Acts 15, 18 says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Nothing takes God by surprise. And I got four simple little things on this thought that the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And the first thing is, can I say this morning? He knows that he knows what's in our heart. What you're thinking about. Thank God he does. There's not anything that God doesn't know. I mean, he knows it all. And there's nothing that takes him by surprise. That's why he said in Psalms 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising. Thou knowest my thought afar off. Sometimes people are sitting in church and they're thinking, I'm never coming back. God knows that. Sometimes people are thinking in church, they're sitting in church and they're thinking they're going to do something evil. And God knows that also. Sometimes people are sitting in church and they're under deep conviction. They know they're lost. They know they're going to hell. And God knows that also. He says, thou compassest my path and my lying down, aren't acquainted with all my ways. Hey, there's nothing that God doesn't know this morning. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. You see, God knows what's in our hearts. And the problem is, so many times our hearts are deceitful. Jeremiah 17, 1 to 10 says, the heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You say, but I'm saved. Yeah, but your heart may still be deceitful. That's why we have to guard our hearts at all times. In every situation. David was a man after God's own heart. And he had a good heart. But he still committed adultery and murder. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? You're capable of anything, anytime. Because our heart is the seat of all things and desperately wicked. You hear about Christian people doing things. I mean, robbing banks, embezzling, lying, cheating, stealing, committing adultery, murdering people. And you think, what is going on? Preacher goes in the schoolyard in front of 500 kids and blows his brains out. What is going on? I'll tell you right now, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, God knows what our deliberations are. Wouldn't it be a horrific thing for God to place all of our thoughts upon a screen during the church service? I mean, sometimes you're here, but you're not here. You're thinking about everything in the world except for what's being said from the pulpit. I mean, I see people here, they're thinking about their life. They're thinking what they're going to do afterwards. They're thinking about their cares and their burdens and their problems. Instead of focusing on the Lord this morning. You see, God knows, He knows our deliberations. And the problem is our hearts are deceitful and our hearts are dangerous. Man, our hearts are dangerous. Mark 7, 14 to 23 talks about them 13 evil things in the heart. And let me tell you, don't let your heart run wild, because again, why? It is capable of anything. Anything. I mean, when God, when He said that in Mark chapter number 7 and verse number 14, He describes the deceitfulness of the heart and the wickedness of the heart. And I want to read that in Mark chapter number 7. And this is what He said in verse number 14. He said, "And when He called all the people unto Him, He said unto them, hearken unto Me, everyone, understand, there's nothing from without a man that entering in can defile him, but the things that come out of him, those are they that defile him. If any man have the ears to hear, let him hear." And then He goes on down there for time's sake in verse number 19. He talks about what enters in. He's talking about the meats. Verse 20 said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, the evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." Count it, 13 evil things. And all these things come from within and defile the man. Can I say this morning, the heart's deceitful, is dangerous, and the heart is dark. What was the problem with sinners? Their foolish heart was darkened. You know what's going on in our society today? Our society, people's hearts have become so dark and so dangerous. If you look at someone wrong, they might pull a gun and blow your head off. I mean, people getting killed in ridiculous road rage situations. People getting killed at the grocery store. People getting killed in the parking lot. Over what? Absolutely nothing. You say, what's the thing? The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You say, what's the answer? Hey, we got to walk in the light. He said, "This is the message then we've heard of Him that declareth unto you that God is light and there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one of another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." I have never seen someone walking in the fellowship and light of Jesus Christ that hates everybody.
You're right.
I tell people, why are you so angry? When you're a child of God, walking in the light of fellowship with Jesus Christ. See, God knows the deliberation of our heart. Can I say this? He knows our downfalls. Because we have a lot of downfalls, do we not? Ecclesiastes says there's not a just man upon the earth. We sin, of course we sin. I wish I could say as a Christian I've never sinned, but that would be the biggest lie that I ever told. Hey, we all sin on a daily basis. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. Jeremiah said, or Job said this. He said, "Behold, even to the moon it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm?" Man, his best day is altogether vanity. And when you think about our downfalls that we have, we have shortcomings and sinfulness and disappointments and discouragement and character flaws. And God knows we're going to have failures. You say, "Brother Chris, if you have failures, I have more failures than I can count. I have failures in my character." We do. I have failures sometimes in my marital skills, sometimes in my parenting skills. Sometimes passion skills. If you think, hey, people say, well, I want to go to a church where the perfect, where the preacher's perfect. There is no church you can go to. And if I want a pastor a perfect church, that would have to be in heaven. Because it's sure not here on the earth. Because we are a flawed people. You know why I try and have grace with people? Because I know that I need grace myself. I'm amazed by the people who cannot have grace with anyone else when they need so much grace themselves. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Guess what? We all have problems. We all have temptations and trials of life. And that's why I said there have no temptation taken for such common man, but God who is faithful will with the temptation make you may be able to bear it. You say, Brother Chris, am I going to sin? Of course you're going to sin. And that's why he said in John said, 1 John chapter 2, he said, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hey, we're going to have some problems. And we're going to have some failures. And we're going to do some stupid things. Did Jesus know that Peter was going to deny him? He told the disciples, you're all going to deny me. And Peter vehemently denied and said, Lord, you know that I love you. And there's no way. These other guys may say they don't know you, but not me. That he didn't think of his key lest he fall, right? You don't know what you're going to do in any given situation because you haven't been in that situation. In Luke 22, verse number 32, when Peter had made his boast, he says in verse 31, and then the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. For I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, that the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. No one's as spiritual as but you know, Peter denied the Lord what? Once. He said, I won't make that mistake again. I've done a lot of things I'm ashamed of. And I thought to myself, that situation took me by surprise, and that is never going to happen again. These situations, when I failed the test, have helped me to grow as a Christian in Christ. And I come to church every Sunday with a plan. Hey, if someone walks in the back door and does X, Y, Z, believe you me, I've thought about it and what I'm going to do. I don't like being taken by surprise. Because you can have situations in the church, can you not? Thank God, Peter confessed Christ. He walked on the water. He saw him transfigured. But he cursed to prove he didn't know him. But you know the great thing about a child of God? If we fall down, we get back up. And if we make a mistake, what do? We correct it. We correct it. Does the Bible say that? Yes, it does. Psalms 37, 23. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Why? Because the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And when we fall down, God saw we fall down, and he helps us get back up. I've fallen down many times. You say, what did God do? He helped me get back up. House of God. And God said, Brother Chris, better in your life. Seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. hey, you've made some mistakes, you've done some stupid things, you've sinned against God, confess it to God, let Him cleanse it, and then for God's sake, get up and continue right on. He knows. Thank God He knows.
Amen.
He knows the deliberations of our heart. He knows our downfalls. Can I say this? He knows our direction. Man, sometimes you're going through life and you just feel like you're lost, don't you?
Yes.
Sometimes you feel like you're just lost and you don't know what you're doing. And people lose their way. They do lose their way. I mean, when Job was going through the fiery trial, he thought he had lost his way. And he didn't know what to do or which way to turn. Many times life is like that. Job said this, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I will order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I will know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Hey, Job is totally in the wilderness. He says, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so I should be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Does that mean God wasn't there? No, God was there the whole time. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But look what he says. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hallelujah. Did Job come forth as gold? Was God with him every step of the way? Even when we're walking in the dark, God knows the way. When we're in the wilderness, God knows the way. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and they didn't know the way. We sing that song. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Isn't that a dying truth? You say, brother, I'm lost. And just follow Jesus.
Yes.
All you got to do is follow.
Yes.
All you got to do is follow His ways. Follow His word. Follow His commandments. You'll find your way. You'll find your way. Job found his way. Job knew, hey, I'm out there and I don't know what to do. Verse 11, he said, my foot have held his steps, his ways have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You say, Job said, hey, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to keep walking with God. Problems are not meant to drive you from God. Problems are meant to make you stronger. What's the old saying? What doesn't kill you will make you better. Hallelujah. It's problems that we need in our life. You know what America needs? A good dose of problems. During the Depression years, God sent revival to this nation. Because prosperity destroys people. It's problems that strengthen your faith. I guarantee you, these have lost loved ones, their faith has been strengthened. You say, why? Because problems make you stronger. And it strengthens your relationship with God. You say, why? Because when you're having problems, you pray more. And you try to get close to God more when you're having problems. How many people were out of church and they started having serious problems and they got back in church?
Right.
We all need problems. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Yes.
You see, God sees all the way to the end. You know what our problem is? We can't see the trees from the forest. Job couldn't see the deliverance of the Lord until chapter 42 when God reveals himself. And when God reveals himself in chapter number 42, now Job sees and Job answered the Lord and said, I know thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Now Job's come to himself. He says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Man, he got a good look at God. He gave him a good look at himself. And Job understood that he knows our direction. You know, it's funny, Job couldn't see the deliverance of the Lord. He couldn't see what God was going to do for him. And in verse number 10, it says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Job couldn't see that. All he knows, I'm broke, I'm busted, I'll never have another thing. And all of a sudden, he had twice as much before. It says, then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and all they that had been acquaintances before him. They did eat bread with him in the house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And every man gave him a piece of money, and every one gave him an earring of gold. All of a sudden, he's wealthy again. And the Bible says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Man, he couldn't see it. You know what the problem is today? Christians can't see it.
Amen.
You say, why? Because we look through a glass darkly.
That's right.
When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and he wrote to those believers in Corinth, he made it without doubt, hey, we don't know everything that God knows.
Right.
We don't see everything that God sees. And that's why he said this, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these are charity. You know what the problem is? We can't see past the nose on our face. God is allowing what's in our life for a reason.
Right.
To draw us close to Him.
Yes.
And I don't stand up here as one who's never had problems. I've had a lot of problems. A lot of sadness. A lot of disappointments.
Right.
But everything God brought into my life was for a reason and a purpose. And we know that all things work together for good. Them love God, them are called according to His purpose. There's a time and a purpose for everything. The preacher said that at Sister Tammy's dad's funeral. There's a time to live and there's a time to die. You say, I don't understand it. You don't need to understand it.
Amen.
Why do little children have to die? Because it's their time to die. Why does a son or a daughter have to die? Because it's their time to die.
Yes.
Why do brothers and sisters and mom and dads have to die? It's their time to die. God knows the way that we take. He knows our way. He knows our direction. And see, some people today are going away from God, and some people are going to God. And don't you think that God doesn't know that this morning? I'm a human being, and I can look at people's lives from week to week, and I can know that some people are going away from God, and some people are going to God. How much more the almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God would he know? I'll ask a brother or sister, hey, how's things going? Everything all right? Oh, yeah, preacher, everything's all right. And I'm thinking to myself, they're lying like a rug. Everything is not all right. God came to Cain and said, Cain, what's the problem, son? Why is your countenance fallen? And Cain thought he could fool God. There ain't nothing wrong. I don't have no problem. Nothing wrong with me. He said, oh, yeah, Cain, you got a problem. And sin lieth at the door. And he went right out and killed his brother. Wife will say, hey, husband, what's the problem? I don't have no problem.
Yeah.
He's out committing adultery. He's got a serious problem. Husband will say, wife, what's the problem? Everything okay? And she's made up her mind to leave. Can I tell you right now? God knows the way that you're taken.
That's right. He does.
And many times we don't have people fooled like we think we do.
Right.
Can I tell you this morning? He knows our destination.
Yes, he does.
Aren't you glad there's going to be a final destination?
Amen.
Glory to God. You say, what's the destination for the child of God? Hallelujah. Revelation 21 is that holy city, New Jerusalem. Amen. Where I have a reservation. Glory to God. And it's better than booking.com. Revelation chapter number 21. The Bible says this, and I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We have a lot of widowers here. Can I tell you? Hey, our loved ones that went to heaven, they're rejoicing.
That's right.
And it won't be that long and we're going to be rejoicing with them.
That's right.
I told a dear lady this week, I said, look, it ain't going to be that long and you're going to be with them. You're in your 70s and 80s. How much time do you really got left? I'm in my 60s. I wonder how much time I really got left. It ain't going to be that long. And we're leaving this world. What is your life? Even as a vapor that appeared for a little while and then vanisheth away. You're sitting here and you might be in your teens, or you might be in your 20s or 30s or 40s. But let me tell you something. You ain't got long. But thank God we got somewhere to go. Thank God we got somewhere to go. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son.
Amen.
Thank God we got a destination. And one day we'll arrive at our heavenly home. That's what happens to the saint, the child of God. The saved child of God, we got somewhere to go. The sinner has somewhere to go to. Because a sinner without God is going to an altogether different place. I told a man yesterday, and this situation, this conversation came up in just a matter of seconds. And I said, hey, let me tell you something. You're lost and you're undone, you're in your sin, and you're going to go to hell. And we love you and we're praying for you. I put my arm around him. I said, you just need to be saved. God loves you. He wants to cleanse you and forgive you and make you new. And we want you to come to church and hear the preaching. I know what your struggle is. The struggle is the sin and the habits that you have in your life, and you're afraid that you might have to stop some. He said, I can assure you I have them same struggles. But when I got saved, I didn't have to quit anything. I wanted. Because I became a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And he said, but the fearful and unbelieving, abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. His wife said, well, he needs religion. I said, God help us, that's the last thing he needs. He needs a relationship with the God of heaven. He's a know God in a personal way. Psalmist said, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knoweth the way of the righteous. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. The million-dollar question is which way are you taking? Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth destruction, and many there be which enter it, which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Which way are you taking this morning? Are you running to the arms of God, or are you running away from God? You can be sitting in church and be running away from God. Running away from his calling, running away from his will, running away from his leadership. He knows which way you're taking. And he knows the way you're taking, where it will put you one day. That's why the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The path away from God is a dark, desperate, disappointing, destructive path. And the path that leads to God is filled with blessing and contentment and peace. Which way are you taking this morning? What'd he say? The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Are you on the broad way or the narrow way? You heading towards God or you heading away from him? And the amazing thing is, as you sit there, you know it, and God knows it. But what are you going to do about it? You're going to be blessed or you're going to be cursed? That's what it comes down to. Let's stand for prayer. As you stand this morning, your head bowed and your eyes closed, the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Think about what the Lord is telling you right now. Think about what the Lord is saying. Could it be saying, it's you. It's you. You need to listen. It's you. You're on the wrong path. You're going the wrong direction. What's he saying to you this morning? He knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Could you not be honest with God for a few minutes and ask yourself, Lord, what is it I'm doing? And where is my current trajectory going to take me? Where's the ending point? Where's the finish line? Is it going to be God's blessing? Or is it going to be God's curse? But he knows. He knows. I'm going to pray. I'm going to sing. If God's speaking to you, maybe you need to come down and pray this morning. Father, I pray you'd speak to every heart this morning. That you speak to the child of God and you speak to the sinner. And God, you know exactly what it is we need this morning. And you know exactly what you're telling every one of us. Would to God we'd have ears to hear, and eyes to see, and a heart to receive it. And that we might do some real spiritual business this morning. You know our hearts, Father. You know the way that we are taking. And you know where it will lead us. Bring conviction. Do what needs done. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name.